Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition, a brand new edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I'm your host, Stacey Emery, always excited to be here for another mind-shifting conversation, another mind-shifting Monday. Welcome to all of you that are listening right now via Blog Talk Radio. Also, thank you to those of you that are dialing in, listening by phone. And a special thank you to those of you that are listening to the replay. We know it's not always convenient for everyone to listen to the live show, but we still thank you for taking the time throughout the week to listen to the replays, downloading the replays, and sharing them with your friends and family. This is Mind Shift Talk Radio. It's a show just for you. It's for every individual that's looking to grow in every area of their lives, whether you're looking to have a mind shift in terms of your personal development, your professional development, maybe it's the area of your finances, personal relationships, or you just want to have a healthy mind-shifting conversation to get your week started, this is the show for you. So we encourage you to be here. Connect with us on facebook.com/mindshifttalkradio. Also, you can find us online on our own website, mindshifttalkradio.com. And of course, you're listening probably through your browser on Blog Talk. Go ahead and hit that follow link. You want to make sure that you're connected with us. Find out about upcoming shows, find out more about our guests, and also just find out more about us. We love to have more friends. We love to connect with you guys. We love to hear your thoughts. So, again, thank you to all of you that are listening to the show tonight. We won't be taking any calls tonight. There won't be any Q&A type session for you to call in, but the chat room is open. So if there's any questions that you have, any comments that you have for our special guest tonight, feel free to go ahead and join us in the chat room. You will have to go ahead and set up a username for you to be able to chat. If you join us as a guest, you'll only be able to read. You won't be able to chat. So we encourage you to go ahead and create a username, become our friend in that community as well. But again, thank you for tuning in. And before I go any further, I cannot do it without my special partner in success. She's none other than the amazing Juanita Sister Big Bones Warren. Sis, happy Mind Shift Monday to you.
Who are you talking about? You talking about me?
I am talking about me. You.
I'm amazing.
It's you.
This is recorded, right? So I can hear this back again and again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Take heart, be happy, enjoy it, you know.
Awesome. Happy Mind Shift Monday, Stacey.
Thank you. It seems like it's been forever, right?
It's been like a month of Mondays. Ooh-wee.
My gosh, it's been too many Mondays. But, you know, of course, we think about Mind Shift. It's so funny. After being on this show and hosting this show every week for the last three and a half years, it's like when we're not here, it just feels weird on Mondays. You know, it's like there's something missing. And, you know, for those of you that have been our faithful listeners over the years, we definitely appreciate your support. You know, I've received messages, inbox messages on Facebook and emails and so forth, like, what's going on? Where's Mind Shift? And so we are here. You know, we are making some changes with the show, of course, making it better. And we talk about Mind Shift. We talk about paradigm shifts. And we talk about, you know, seeing things from new perspectives. Well, we also have to have that shift sometimes in terms of the direction of the show. And then life is just happening, sis. You know, we still have life happening. So we've had so many great experiences over this time that we've taken a break from the show. And so I'm sure a lot of that will come forth on the show. For those of you that have listened to us, you know, there's nothing but transparency here. And so sometimes we're not trying to be transparent. You know, things kind of just fall out there. So that's just a warning. I know, sis, I did the introduction, and I forgot to mention this. For those of you that are new to Mind Shift Talk Radio, we ask that when you come to the show, when you listen to the show, that you listen with an open mind, you know, have an open heart, open perspective, because you will hear things on this show. You know, again, we're sharing our own perspectives. Sometimes our guests are sharing their own perspectives, and everyone may not necessarily agree. We just ask that you agree to disagree sometimes.
The
and
views
we just encourage
expressed don't necessarily
this.
Reflect.
Oh, yeah. We need to have one of those disclaimers. Right. You know. But we just encourage you to stick with us for the whole hour. You hang in there with us. You know, just brace yourself. We promise that you're going to have a healthy mind shift by the end of this show. So, sis, anything new that we need to know about? Anything you want to share with us before we get going with our show tonight?
Nope.
Yeah, you said that way too. And
I'm just really glad
out.
To be here.
I am too. I said, you know, special shout out to Sherry, because Sherry was excited. Did you see, for those of you that are not familiar with Sherry, we talk about Sherry like everyone knows Sherry, but Sherry Darden, you know, just business guru herself, you know,
yes.
Dynamic. Yeah, she's amazing. And she's here with us. She's, for those of you that have listened to the show, she's done plenty of segments on the show about small business, entrepreneurship. She's a business plan lady herself. Sherry was really excited. So special shout out to you, Sherry, because I saw the post that you did on Facebook. You're excited about Mindshift. So thank you. And we can't wait to have you back on the show as well. So I'm already excited and I'm fired up. I'm fired up not only because it's Monday and we're back on Mindshift, but because of the guest that we have tonight. Aren't you excited? I'm really excited. Now, this guest that we are going to be joined by tonight is, no, he's not brand new to Mindshift. He's family here, you know, and if you guys look at our pictures online, there is a slight resemblance.
Brother Bob.
Because we're all family.
Yeah, he's a brother,
you know. So definitely, we're excited to have him here. It's always a privilege, always an honor to have this gentleman here. And I tell you right now, if you're not ready, if you're not sitting still and you don't have anything on hand for you to take notes, take a pause right now to do that. I would definitely encourage you to get prepared. Grab a notepad, a piece of paper, pencil, pen, whatever you need. You'll definitely want to take notes tonight. I'll tell you, every time he comes here, he drops so much knowledge, and it's amazing because everything that he shares is truth, and it's so simple. You know, he simplifies it, and it's just, it's profound. Every time he's here, like, he drops these nuggets, and you're like, wow, I need to write that down. So I definitely encourage you guys to get prepared now before he even comes out and make sure that you're ready to take notes tonight. And then, of course, you'll be able to listen to the replay. As I said, you know, the replays are available online. You can go to mindshifttalkradio.com. You'll also be able to go to that website tonight, and you can get more information about our guest. You'll also be able to get more information about the book that he'll be discussing tonight as well. So, sis, are you ready for us to get started?
I am ready.
All right. Let's go. So, before we bring him out, I do want to ask you guys a question. Of course, you guys are not calling in, and so you're not answering this right now, but I just really want you to think, can you really systematically and consistently get the results that you want from others while still making them feel genuinely good about themselves, about whatever the process is, and about you in general? Can you do that? Well, our guest says, absolutely, you can do that. Bob Burgess, who we're discussing and who we're excited about having here tonight, he is a sought-after speaker. He speaks at corporate conventions. He speaks for entrepreneurial events. He regularly addresses audiences ranging in size from 50 to 16,000 people. He shared the platform with notables, including today's top thought leaders, broadcast personalities, Olympic athletes, political leaders, including a former U.S. president, a United States president, okay? And although for years he's been best known for his book, Endless Referrals, over the past few years, it's his business parable entitled The Go-Giver. He co-authored the book with John David Mann, and he's also discussed that book here as well on Mindshift Talk Radio. But it's that book, The Go-Giver, that has captured the heart and the imagination of his readers. It shot to number 6 on the Wall Street Journal's business bestsellers list just 3 weeks after its release, and it reached number 9 on Business Week. Since its release, it's been translated into 21 languages. It's his fourth book to sell over 250,000 copies. And he believes that his new book that he'll be discussing tonight, Adversaries into Allies, Win People Over Without Manipulation or Coercion, is by far his most important work yet. Okay? So Bob's an advocate. He's a supporter and defender of the free enterprise system, and he believes that the amount of money that one makes is directly proportional to how many people they serve. So he's unapologetic about being an animal fanatic, which is a very interesting and fun fact that we'll hear more about tonight. But without any further ado, I do want to introduce you to tonight's special guest, none other than the phenomenal Mr. Bob Berg. Bob, welcome back to my
Wow, what a wonderful introduction. Hi, Stacey and Juanito. It's great to be with y'all.
It's always great to have you back here. It's amazing. I think this is like your third time here. And so
yeah.
I meant it. You are family at this point. You're not a stranger to Mindshift Talk Radio, and we're always honored to have you here.
Well, thank you. Pleasure and honor is mine, believe me.
Definitely. Now, I know I gave a long, lengthy introduction. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, for those listeners that are just tuning in or just becoming familiar with who Bob Berg is, and we know there's going to be far and few in between that don't know who you are, Bob, is there anything that I may have missed that you'd like our listeners to know about you?
I got to tell you, you told me things I didn't even know about myself. So that's great.
That's funny.
Awesome. Right. So I guess we're doing our job.
You are.
Great. We are excited. I mean, we have so many questions for you about this, Bob, and we definitely want to go deep and really dive into some of the principles and the topics that you're discussing in this book. So I know Juanita and I both have, you know, kind of looked over it, and we have a whole bunch of questions we want to ask. So I'll let you, sister, I'll let you go ahead and start the questions for Bob. How about that?
Oh, thank you. What an honor. I want to definitely jump right in, but before we do, last time we had you on the show, it was about your book, Go Giver, and which was an awesome play on words. Like, most people think go getter, and you're just phenomenal with the titling for your book, and this one in the same way. It's Adversaries into Allies. Like, really? Just explain that for me, and the ability that can, is it that we can do that? Turn everyone into an ally? Anyone who disagrees with us, is that something we can do?
Well, I certainly don't think we can necessarily turn everyone whose opinion is different from ours into having the same opinion, but I think we can take people who are potential ally adversaries or adversaries in certain ways. And by the way, it might not be anything personal, and it might not be that they don't like us. It might be simply the position they're in or the context. It might be that you need to return something and you don't have the receipt with you, and the person at the customer service desk is not being easy to work with in terms of, you know, giving you your money back because you don't have a receipt. And in that case, we might say we need to move that person from their current position to being able to live in the solution, but doing it in such a way that they genuinely feel good about themselves and feel good about you in the situation. Or it might be might be needing to ask the boss at work for a raise, or it could be, you know, pretty much any situation. But it doesn't necessarily mean that this adversary is a real enemy, although, you know, that could sometimes be the case too. It just means
not
these
an
times,
enemy,
huh?
Not necessarily out to get us. Like,
right.
Not an enemy, just, not necessarily out to get us. Okay.
Yeah, but so really, it's just really what it's about is being able to really get the results you want when dealing with others, but again, in such a way that everybody comes out of it feeling good about it.
Live in the solution. I love that. That
Thank
phrase.
You.
Instead of, I tend
well,
to live
some
in
people
problem.
Live in the problem, and other people
yeah.
live in the solution. And sometimes we need to very patiently work with someone and move them from what I call a problem orientation to a solution orientation.
Awesome.
So
all right, Stacey.
But, yeah, I mean, when we're talking about this right now, and it kind of reminds me of a lot of the things that we discussed even with the Go-Giver. And I know with the Go-Giver, one of the biggest things that stood out for me in that book was, you know, talking about again, making others feel good about themselves. And I heard you even share that just now, Bob, when you're talking about adversaries into allies, is being able to be honest about what it is that you feel without really hurting someone's feelings. But also, when you're talking about, I hear there's a lot of persuasion. It's really about helping to persuade other people to see things differently as well. And so you claim that there's a big difference in your book between persuasion and manipulation. But is there really a big difference between the two? Are they not the same?
No, they're not the same, but they are cousins. They both have to deal, both the manipulator and the persuader certainly understands human motivation and what can cause people to move to a specific action. It begins with, now I said they're cousins, but one's the good cousin and one's the evil cousin. And
okay.
And manipulation is the evil cousin and persuasion is the good cousin. And the best explanation I heard of the difference between the two was in a book that was written in 1987 by a Dr. Paul W. Sweats called The Art of Talking So That People Will Listen. It was really more a book about listening while others were talking and so forth. It was a great book, but he did a wonderful job, I thought, of really illustrating the difference. And according to Dr. Sweats, manipulation aims at control, not cooperation. It does not consider the good of the other party. It typically results in a win-lose situation. Now, in contrast to the manipulator, the persuader seeks to enhance the self-esteem of the other party. The result is that people respond better because they're treated as responsible, response-able, self-directing individuals. So what we see is that the biggest difference between manipulation and persuasion is the intent, but it goes deeper than that because it's also the results. See, both a manipulator and a persuader know how to move someone to action and can do that in the immediate term. But the manipulator will very rarely ever be able to move someone move someone long term, whereas the persuader can move a person both short term and long term. Why? Because a manipulator, obviously, you don't feel good about having done something because of a manipulator, because of the way they did it, the way they made you feel as they did it. A manipulator, can have employees, but very rarely will they have a team of committed people. A manipulator can make a sale, but very rarely will they have a loyal client who's out there singing their praises. And a manipulator can have a family who they love and who loves them, but very rarely will it be a very functional family. So, it starts the difference being in terms of intent, but the results are also significantly different. It's much more effective and much more profitable to be a persuader than it is a manipulator.
So it sounds like the principles that you're going to be discussing, well, that you do discuss in this book, even when we're talking about this, persuasion versus manipulation, it's really something that can be applied not only to your professional life, but it's also something that can be applied to your personal relationships as well, right?
Yes, this really kind of goes across the board to all aspects of life, whether it's business or personal.
Okay. So ultimately, even when you're looking at that piece, when you're talking about dealing with your family members and you're talking about dealing with maybe your peers or your employees, so forth, at the end of the day, it does come down to the level of influence. And we talk about this quite a bit on Mindshift when we talk about ultimately you're always influencing the lives of others, and sometimes we underestimate the level of influence that we have in others' lives. And even throughout your book, we'll continue to hear the word influence. We'll hear influence being used a lot, and it's used throughout your book. But what really is influence? Why is influence so important?
Well, yeah, that's a great question because it really, cuts to the heart of it, and it causes us to really check our premises and see what it is we're really talking about. And on a very, very basic level, we can define influence as simply the ability to move a person or persons to a desired action, usually within the context of a specific goal. On a bit deeper level, we could say that influence is an unseen flow of power. And while both definitions work, I don't believe either one really captures its essence. I believe that influence is pull. It's an attraction. You don't hear people say, you know, wow, I got to tell you, that Stacy and Juanita, they are so influential. They have a lot of push with people. No, it's that they have a lot of pull with people, because that's what influence is. It's an attraction. Great influencers attract people to themselves and to their ideas. And again, they do this not through push, but through its opposite, which is pull. Now, is really a very legitimate form of power. Power being the very opposite of force. You see, force is control. It's manipulation. It's intimidation. It's compliance, often the function of what's called positional authority. In leadership teaching, it's often called positional leadership, right? The person has a title, department head, supervisor, manager, employer. And let's face it, hey, you know, even someone with just positional authority can still compel certain people to do certain things. The employee knows that, you know, if they want any chance for advancement, promotion, a raise, or to not be punished or disciplined or even fired, they need to do what they're told. But that's compliance. And the biggest challenge with compliance as a leader, as an influencer, the biggest challenge in trying to move people through compliance is that at best they'll do exactly what you tell them and not one bit more. At worst, they'll find a way to sabotage the process completely, whether consciously or unconsciously. But that, again, that's compliance. Now, the opposite of compliance is commitment. Now, when you have commitment, that's an entirely different story. And I believe that this commitment is practically always the result of the influencer not just understanding but absolutely embracing Dale Carnegie's famous admonition in his classic How to Win Friends and Influence People, where he wrote, ultimately, people do things for their reasons, not our reasons. So the great influencer constantly questions themselves. How does what I'm asking this person to do align with their goals, with their wants, their needs, their desires? How does what I want this other human being to do, how does it align with their values? And when asking ourselves these questions intelligently and authentically, not as a way to manipulate another human being to do our will, but as a way to help build them as well, we've gone a long way toward earning that commitment. And there's such a huge difference between commitment and compliance. I love what my friend, one of my great mentors, Dondi Scumaci, says about this. I think this is brilliant of her. She says, compliance will never take you where commitment can go. Compliance will never take you where commitment can go. See, great influencers accomplish great things with people, but the best of them understand that it's never about them. And the two of you know this, you know, you teach this, that great leadership is never about the leader. Great influence is never about the influencer. Great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. Who is it about? It's about the other person. You know, it's always about that person whose lives you choose to touch, whose lives you choose to provide value to. And that's really what it's all about, whether we're talking about a family member, a friend, your teammates, your supervisor, your employees, your employer, the supplier, or that person at the customer service desk. We've got to find a way to connect what we want with what they want.
Awesome. Well, speaking about who and what it's about, tonight on Mindshift Talk Radio, it's about Bob Burke, who's here talking about Adversaries into Allies, his latest effort, and we are really glad to have him on our show tonight. You're tuning in, and you can listen to us at 347-989-0206. We aren't taking calls tonight, but you can definitely tune into the show from a phone line, cell phone, Google Voice, however you use telecommunications, the one nearest you. All right, so with that, in your book, you talk about there being five principles of ultimate influence, and this is where my heart really is right now, just wanting to learn that. And what are they? And is ultimate influence different from regular influence?
Well, the five principles themselves are simply to control your own emotions, understand the clash of belief systems, acknowledge their ego, set the proper frame, and communicate with tact and empathy. And we can, you know, we can look at them individually if you'd like.
Please do, because I need them again, because I didn't get all that.
Okay. Well, it always begins with controlling your own emotions, because it's only when you can control your own emotions, when, as my dad says, you're the boss of yourself, that you're then in a position where you can take what might be a potentially negative situation or person and turn that into something that benefits everyone concerned. As human beings, we are emotional creatures. We're logical to a certain degree, but we're very emotional. We make decisions based on emotion and often back those decisions up with logic or rationalization. We rationalize, which if you break up the word rationalize, it simply means we tell ourselves rational lies, and we do that to justify the emotion-based decisions. Well, you know, there's a saying that nobody can make you mad or angry or sad or what have you. No, they can't. But what they can do is they can push buttons. They can, purposely or inadvertently, they can push your buttons, which is, of course, more about you than it is about them. But they can push those buttons that allow us, that cause us to upset ourselves. And when we're acting out of emotion, which means really our emotions are in control of us, then we're typically going to do something that's not very constructive and might be very counterproductive. So we always have to work on controlling our own emotions. Now, that's not to say that emotions are a bad thing. Emotions are part of life that make life worthwhile and fun and joyful. But as Dondi, again, referring to my friend and mentor, Dondi Scumaci, she says, hey, by all means, take your emotions along for the drive, but your emotions along for the ride, but make sure you're driving the car. And that's very important. And so I love what Zig Ziglar used to say about this. He called it the difference between reacting and responding. And he would say that reacting is negative, responding is positive. When you react, you're allowing outside circumstances or people to control you. When you respond, you're in control of your emotions. And I love the analogy he'd use. He'd say, did you respond well to the medication, or did you have a bad reaction? And I think that's so profound, and that's why what we need to do is we need to retrain ourselves. If we tend to let our emotions run wild, if we tend to be ruled by our emotions, we need to change that. And in the book, I do give steps on how to actually retrain your brain very easily to be able to put yourself in a responsive mindset or responsive default setting as opposed to a reactive one.
I'm silent because that, and Stacy mentioned earlier about this applying professionally as well as personally, and I'm going through a situation where my mom is requiring care and had a stroke a few months ago.
Sorry.
And just that responding versus reacting. And I've gone through that gamut and just taking my emotions kind of out of it. That's just so helpful. So where was this? But I need it now and can use it now.
Well, of course, it's doubly difficult when it comes to a loved one. You know, obviously that really is even another category, you know, so it's difficult. I'm very sorry.
Thank you.
The second principle, so the first is control your own emotions. The second principle is understand the clash of belief systems. This is so key, and something most of us are never even aware of as a dynamic. What is a belief? Well, a belief is a subjective truth. In other words, it's the truth as we understand the truth to be. It doesn't mean it's the truth. It means it's an individual's truth. It's a belief. An example of that would be, you know, when you see we hear about a car accident where there were 10 witnesses, right? And all 10 saw the exact same accident from basically the exact same angle, and there are how many different viewpoints? 10. Well, why is it? Well, it's the same thing. You know, it's now there's one truth. What happened happened. There's an objective truth, but there are also everybody filters it through their own belief system. Well, you know what? That's how life is. And we all are subject to our own belief systems, our what I call our operating system. And this belief system was handed to us from the time we were born, and it was developed over time, though it gets pretty set in stone at a very, very young age. But our belief system is a combination of upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television, movies, popular entertainment, cultural mores, you know, everything we touch, taste, hear, you know, smell, see, what have you. This all goes into our what makes up our belief system. Now, when we're very young as this starts to happen, obviously, and we're not thinking critically. When information about what the truth is comes into our minds, we're not saying, okay, now why is this true? Why is this a fact? How did the first person who thought of this actually come up with this? How did they test it, right? And now most of us don't even do it regardless of how, you know, we decide where we're going to get our information and we believe it unquestioningly. Now, here's the thing. We don't even know this is going on. We are virtually servants of an operating system, our belief system, and we don't even know it. Now, the other person with whom we might have this rather difficult interaction, they're also a servant of their belief system, right? They grew up that same, you know, that with the same thing coming in, you know, different things, but same, you know, their, you know, what they, their family, you know, upbringing, environment, school, the whole thing. So they're actually run by an operating system that they are not even aware of. Now, top this off, add to this, by understanding that as human beings, we tend to think that everybody else operates out of the same belief system as we do. This is why you hear people say, oh, everybody likes that, or nobody would do that. I'd never say that to someone, right? We've all heard that. Well, it's we're operating out of our belief system. They're operating out of theirs, so they might do that. And here's the thing. We make major decisions based on very limited information because we see the world through our eyes and we fill in the blanks with what the answers would be according to our beliefs. Can you see where a huge clash of belief systems might come into play? So what we need to do is we need to be conscious of this. We need to be conscious of the fact that we're operating out of a system that we're not, that we need to be conscious of the fact that we're not conscious of this belief system. We need to understand that the other person isn't conscious of theirs. And so when we're dealing with this person, we don't need to understand their belief system. Heck, we don't even understand ours probably. So it's not that we need to understand theirs. We simply need to understand that they are most likely operating out of a very different belief system than we are operating out of. And as long as we understand that, now we can work within that context and be in a position to make it a win for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Now, it's funny because now we're going over to principle number 3, which was pretty interesting to me. So we're talking about belief systems, and now we're talking about ego. So principle number 3 says acknowledge their ego. So we've already acknowledged the fact that we're all working from a different belief system. This sounds pretty important. Explain this one, acknowledge their ego.
Well, let me share a story. There was a big fancy dinner party, a black tie affair in Washington, D.C. And at this event were some real, you know, big dignitaries. And one of them happened to be a senator from a New England state. And as he stood in front of his setting at the table, he saw that there was only one pat of butter for his bread, and he wanted another. So he looked at the young waiter standing a few feet away, and he very dismissively, you know, snapped his fingers and said, "Waiter, bring me another pat of butter." Well, the young waiter was somewhat taken aback and offended, but he really wasn't in a position of power where he could, you know, overtly do anything about it. He simply said, "Well, I'm very sorry, sir. There's only one pat of butter to a guest tonight." Well, the senator wasn't having any of this, and he said, "Well, I don't care. Get me another pat of butter right now." "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. The chef said there's a butter shortage tonight, and because of that, there's only one pat of butter to a customer." Now, the senator was just beside himself, and he said, "Young man, do you know who I am? I happen to be the senior senator from the state of New Jersey." To which the young waiter replied, "Do you know who I am? I happen to be the guy who controls the butter." Now, I doubt that story ever happened, but it does make a point, and that is, at one time or another, somebody is going to control our butter. And if we want this person to work with us constructively and in a way that's beneficial, we need to be able to acknowledge the fact that they are working out of an ego base. Now, you know, we think it's the senator who had the big ego, which of course he did, but it was also the waiter.
Right.
Right. So, you know, when you think of it, the ego is simply the I. It's that part of ourself that realizes that we are a unique individual separate from every other person on earth. Now, this sounds almost a little politically incorrect because we hear so much about, well, but aren't we all one, you know, and you know, you've got the even, you know, writers such as Napoleon Hill who talked about the mastermind and about universal consciousness, and quantum physics shows that, you know, there's a plane, you know, that we're basically all connected, and all that's fine. I believe that's probably true. But that does not in any way contradict that at least a part of our physical existence here on Earth is lived as individuals. We all operate as individuals. We have our own sense of values, of what brings us happiness. In fact, we're allowed to pursue our happiness however we see fit. Providing, of course, we don't infringe upon the rights of anyone else to do the same. So the I is simply that individual, a part of ourselves. Now, the ego can, when harnessed, can accomplish great things. It drives us to do wonderful things, to create and invent and do things that are going to help us and help, as a result, bring value to the world, help the world. But if the ego is in control of us, now that's a different story. Now we're about to say or do that thing that probably isn't very productive and that is going to be harmful instead. Well, we need to understand, we need to acknowledge this about ourselves, but I'm going to assume that we're going to do that. What we really need to do, what principle number three about, is acknowledging the other person's ego. Now, when I say acknowledge it, I don't mean say to the person, "Hey, man, you've got an ego." That will have just the opposite effect. What I mean is acknowledge that if they are in any way being difficult to get along with, or in any way acting not in accordance with, you know, with a benevolent motive, then probably it's their ego at work, and we have got to acknowledge that, because in any difficult or potentially difficult interpersonal situation, the other person's ego will honor that in order to work effectively.
Definitely. And I want to touch on that a little bit more. But before we do that, you know, just really quick, for those of you that are just tuning in, you're listening to Mind Shift Talk Radio with Stacey Emery and Juanita Warren. And tonight we're joined by best-selling author, motivational speaker extraordinaire, Mr. Bob Berg, discussing his latest project, Adversary into Allies. And I tell you, if you're just tuning into this show, you've missed quite a chunk of it, but don't worry. It'll be available after the show. You'll be able to download that and listen to that at mindshifttalkradio.com. Also, we encourage you to friend us on Facebook, and there you'll be able to get more information about the show, about this topic, and also more about our guests. So we definitely encourage you to do that. Now, Bob, we're talking about acknowledging the ego, and I'm thinking back to the story you just shared about the senator and the waiter, and it just makes me think, at the end of the day, you know, I think there could have been a different outcome had the senator said things a little differently. You know, sometimes it's not what we say, but it's how we say it.
Absolutely.
So even, you know, when you're thinking about a day-to-day sales experience, say, for example, you go to a store and you want to purchase some shoes, anything. Say you want to buy a product, but it's a little bit overpriced. You know, based on what you're sharing in this book, how do you say this to the person, to the salesperson, in the right way so that they actually do want to work with you? How could he have said things differently for that waiter to actually want to go out of his way to get the butter for him?
Well, first of all, he could have said, "Sir, you know, if you wouldn't mind, if it wouldn't be too much trouble, could I possibly have another pat of butter for my bread?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's just saying, speaking respectfully to people like that just does a world of good. You know, it's amazing what you can accomplish when you're simply kind and respectful to people. And one reason that's so is because most people don't act kindly and respectful to people. I can't tell you how many times when I check into a hotel, and I'm a speaker, so I travel, I live out of hotels, and I can't tell you how often I will, when I approach the person at the desk, and I have a smile on my face, you know, and I say, good afternoon. And they look at me and, wow, you know, gee, you're the nicest person that's, you know, been here all day. Or thank you for your greeting, you know. And I'll tell you, I get extra service. I know I do. And so,
right.
And that's not
right.
Why you do it. It's simply the result of doing it.
Also, in the value piece you talked about, I know one best practice that I've picked up from one of my best friends is when we would go out to dinner, he makes it a practice to learn the name of every person that helps, whether it's the hostess or, you know, the waitress or the waiter, whomever it is. He makes sure he learns the names of everyone. He addresses everyone by their first name. And I picked up on that, and I think it's a great best practice because even if you're in a situation like this, say, for example, you're at a restaurant, maybe your food order doesn't come out correct or there's some other issue, you know, I've noticed that by him developing this quote-unquote personal relationship with these people and making them feel valued for the service they provide, they're more than willing to go out of their way to rectify whatever the situation is.
Absolutely.
You know?
No question about it.
And I just tie that back. Yeah, definitely to the value piece that you talked about. But I know, okay, I just kind of go off and on my own tangent. So, Juanita, I know you're probably there with a question or a comment. I'll let Juanita speak. Did we lose her? Okay. We probably lost her for a minute, so we'll just keep going, Bob. See, I tried to share the mic. I tried not to hog you all to myself. Okay, so let's keep going. Let's go with principle number four. So principle number four is set the proper frame. What's a frame?
Yeah, a frame can really be defined as the premise or the foundation from which everything else evolves. Let me give you an example. I talk about this in the book. I was in a Dunkin' Donuts restaurant, Dunkin' Donuts store, and there was a little boy who was walking around the store, and he was eventually began to walk toward his mom and dad, and all of a sudden he took a spill. He fell on the floor, and you know he wasn't hurt, but you could tell that he was shocked. You know, he intuitively knew that wasn't supposed to happen. And immediately he looked at his parents. Why? Well, he wanted to get their interpretation of the event. Now, what happened happened, but he wanted to know, you know, how was he supposed to react or respond? So he looked at mom and dad, and I really believe, because you know, how often have we seen this, that had they gone, oh no, my poor baby, oh you must be so hurt, right? He probably would have started crying. But instead, the parents handled it beautifully, and they clapped and they smiled and they laughed. Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, that's so good. And, you know, he was delighted. He started to laugh and giggle, and right? What the parents did was they set a productive frame for him to operate out of. Well, it's the same when we are meeting anyone, the same when we have any interaction with anyone. If you can set that positive frame often with just what I call an inside-out from-the-heart smile, you're genuinely happy to see them, and you're setting a frame of friendliness and camaraderie and as people of allies. Now the important thing though is to also know how to reset another person's frame, because what if this person enters this negotiation in a real win-lose type of manner as a bully, or this person's in a bad mood or what have you. So what we need to be able to do is reset another person's frame. Let me give you a quick example, and I share this one in the book as well, and that is I was pulling into the parking space in a hotel parking lot, and I really wasn't paying attention as I should have been, and I nearly clipped a guy as he was getting out the driver's side of his car. I mean, I stopped in plenty of time, but it shocked him. I mean, it gave him a start, definitely. And he really reacted And again, who can blame him? But in a very, very nasty, angry frame, he shot me a look. You know, it reminds me of that saying, if looks could kill, you know, I mean, it was really a, and, but again,
right.
You know, he reacted. He was in a scared frame, an anger frame. Now, had I reacted to that and bought into that frame, I might have given him a dirty look back or yelled, you know, what are you looking at? And he'd have said, watch where you go. And, you know, at best, it would have been an uncomfortable situation. At worst, you know, who knows what happens with something like that. So, but instead, what I did is first I responded, but then what I did is I reset his frame. I started to raise my hand to wave to him through the windshield, to hold up my hand. I put an apologetic smile on my face, and I just mouthed the words "sorry," and immediately he went "no problem." So
wow.
You know, very easy. We turn an adversary into an ally. Instead of buying into his frame, I reset his frame. This is actually very easy to do because people are very reactive rather than responsive. Remember, when you're responsive, you think first. When you're reactive,
right.
it's a reaction. It's unthinking. And so people will tend to react to your frame, whether you set the original frame or whether you're resetting theirs.
Okay, well, here's a big question for you then, because basically with that, you were tactful. You know, you used tact, and you also showed a form of empathy with him. Like you said, you did the smile, and you said, I'm sorry, you know, and that totally changed everything. Like, it reset his frame, per se. So my question to you, this is like a trivia question, but can you use that same tact and empathy to, let's say, get yourself out of a traffic ticket? Would it work for that?
Yeah, it will many times, and I can tell you that both from personal experience and the many, many people who've utilized my teaching.
I've never had it happen. Okay, tell me what I'm doing wrong.
I'm not saying you've done this, but one way it won't work is if you're really, you know, driving to endanger very fast or, you know, on under the influence of alcohol or drugs. Again, I'm not saying that's you.
No, this is me, Bob.
I wasn't saying that's you, but I'm saying when people ask, you know, will this work, I want to let them know it won't in those circumstances. It will work is, let's say, you know, you made a mistake. Maybe you didn't come to a complete stop or maybe you're going over the speed limit to the point that it's not public enemy number one crime, but it's still ticket worthy. This is where this will usually work more often than not. Let's say you were speeding. Let's say you're going over the speed limit, and the officer you see the flashing blue lights in the rear view mirror. So you pull over as soon as it's safe, obviously. And if it's after you stop the car, if it's at night, turn the inside car lights on. And put your hands on the 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock position of the wheel and just stay perfectly still while the officer approaches the vehicle. What you're doing there is showing the ultimate respect, and you're communicating empathy to the police officer that you understand that while they're doing a great job protecting and serving us, you understand that the most dangerous time in their job is when they approach the driver's side of a vehicle that they have stopped. So that right there puts you 9 steps ahead of the game. And I by the way, I learned this from a former state trooper. And now the next part is all the adversaries into allies part, and that is when the officer, you know, approaches, obviously you greet with respect. When they say, you know, do you realize you were going, you know, whatever, 12 miles over the speed limit or whatever it happens to be, you would say, yes, I do realize that. I absolutely was, and I apologize. Or you may have said, you know, I if this is true, you'd say, you know, I didn't realize it until I saw your blue lights in my rearview mirror. I looked down, and yes, absolutely, I was going that speed. I apologize. Now, what you've done is you were truthful, and that, again, is a big step forward because they are used to hearing every excuse in the book, and they don't believe any of them. So you showed empathy, respected their feelings, you were polite, and you told the truth. Now, this right there is probably enough. But if you feel you need to take it to the next level, you might say, You know, officer, again, absolutely no excuses. I was wrong. This isn't something I usually do, and I'm wondering if it would be appropriate if I could possibly get away with a warning this time.
Wow.
So what you've done is you framed this very tactfully, but you did it in such a way, remember, you said, if it's appropriate. And so what you did was you gave the officer an out or a back box. I mean, you didn't say, oh, you know, please give me a warning, or really just give me a warning this time, putting that officer into a corner, so to speak, that they either have to fight their way out or, you know what I'm saying?
Is there also, like, I guess part of part three, isn't that almost part of principle three in terms of acknowledging their ego as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you find that a lot of these, when we go through these stories in the book, because most of them are just stories, after we cover the five principles, the rest of the book is simply very short stories in which I just give all these kind of scenarios that you've been in before, you might be in tomorrow, or you will in the future, and I show you how to handle them utilizing these. But I do it in story form because I want it to be very easy for people to be able to apply these, and you're going to apply them best if you can actually picture yourself in these situations. So you'll find that often, you know, one of the five will always come into play. Often it will be more than one, and sometimes it's all five.
Well, I appreciate you. I hear Juanita over there talking some madness there about my speeding, and she thinks I didn't hear her, but I heard her when you were talking just now, Bob, and she was over there saying some stuff about me. Juanita, speak now, forever hold your peace.
He answered it. He said, you know, driving recklessly. I said, you're speeding. That's how you stop it. You stop speeding.
Well, that is true. That is the best way to not be doing it in the first place. But we're human beings. And sometimes we make mistakes. And I would just assume, you know, again, as long as someone's not driving to endanger, I would just assume they learn their lesson without getting a ticket.
Well, see, I posed the question to you, Bob, because I liked your answer better than I would have liked Juanita's. I'm sure that you used more tact and empathy than Juanita would have if I had asked her that question. So that's like a great segue into principle number five, because I know we're running out of time. We only have a few minutes left, so we're going to go ahead and close it out with principle five. But principle five is communicating with tact and empathy. So you've just showed a great example of that, but I'll let you elaborate on that area if you'd like to a little bit more.
Well, you know, my dad has always defined tact as the language of strength. And, you know, I believe that's so true. Tact is a way of being able to teach someone, to correct someone, to critique someone, to, dare I say, constructively criticize someone. And it's not that we want to do any of those, but we're talking about the real world. And there are times that we do have to be able to correct someone or teach them what have you. And we need to do it in such a way, though, that not only does the person not feel defensive about it and resistant to us and our idea, but we need for them to be open to it and very receptive to it. Tact allows us to do it, speaking to this person in such a way that we really are respecting their ego. We're understanding that this person has feelings and that, you know, we need to say it in such a way that they're least likely to be offended and can instead act out of a very logical basis.
Alrighty. Well, I appreciate you being here with us. And I, as I said before, I know we're running out of time. And I did have more questions. But, you know, at this point, I think the other questions that I have just need to be answered by reading the book all the way from start to finish. But I appreciate you sharing so much with us, and I think you've definitely done, well, I don't think, I know you've done a phenomenal job in terms of summarizing it, and you said it yourself just now about making it simple, and I said that even at the beginning when I introduced you. I love that one thing is that you share so much information in your book. There's so much content, and it helps to develop such a strong foundation, whether you're using it for, like we said, professional purposes, even when you think about, like, the, you know, your other books, Endless Referrals and Go Givers, you know, these best-selling books that you have. And I'm sure, you know, this book as well, Adversaries into Allies, is going to be even more successful than your previous books. I'm sure that it will be. It's just, I think it's easy for anyone, whether it's someone that's very experienced in these areas or someone brand new to whether it's personal development or professional development, I think everyone can pick up a book by Bob Berg and say, okay, I can find myself in this book. I can relate to this book, especially with the storytelling, as you just said. You know, even the principles we just discussed today, you just made it so simple by just sharing real-life stories. And I threw that one out there with the ticket, and you just handled it just like that. You know, we talked about being in the restaurant, and you handled it. So I definitely appreciate you being here with us today, Bob, and definitely wish you the best. I know, Juanita, you're there. Can you hear us right now? Because I know we lost you a minute ago.
Yeah, I'm here.
And you know what? Great. What I'd love is for to be able to offer everyone to get Chapter 1 and be able to read it to see if they like it first before deciding to buy it. And so if they go to Berg.com, B-U-R-G.com, they can click the graphic of the book on the right-hand side of the page, and they can get Chapter 1.
Awesome. That was the next question. Where could the listeners learn more about the book, and where can they find the book to purchase the book?
Right at that site, and they can go. They can either download Chapter 1, or they can actually click right through to Amazon.com or one of the other online stores, or they can get it at their local bookseller if they'd like.
Awesome. And then we've also added that link to our site as well on Mindshift Talk Radio.
So for those of you
that are at Mindshift, awesome, yeah, definitely. You can go to mindshifttalkradio.com, click on that front page that talks about this week's show. You'll see the information on Bob, and below that there's a picture of the book. You can click the picture of the book, and that will take you to his site as well. So we definitely encourage you guys to connect with Bob. I get the newsletter that comes out. He shares so many great tips in his newsletter as well. Also, you can find him on LinkedIn, and you can find him on Facebook as well. So Bob is everywhere. So he's accessible. You can connect with him. But before we close out, Sister Big Bones, do you have any final thoughts or any questions, anything for Bob before we close out?
No, I'm online getting me a copy of Chapter 1.
Okay. You're already there.
Yeah, great conversation tonight. Looking forward to just the nuggets that you share, as always, and I get your other regular email updates. So I stay plugged into you. Like Stacey was saying, Bob is everywhere you want to be and
need
to be too.
Well, thank you.
Definitely. And, Bob, can you, just one more time, if you could just share your website and maybe your Facebook or Twitter page with the listeners as well.
Yeah, it's berg.com, and that's B-U-R-G.com. And while they're on that page, they can actually go, aside from getting the Chapter 1 of the book, they can connect with me on social media. There's a little button to connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, and so forth. Twitter, I am at Bob Berg, B-O-B-B-U-R-G. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/BergBob. But it's probably easier just to go to the website, and while they're there, they can also sign up for our Influence and Success website and even check out our new Go Givers International membership community.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do we find in the international community?
We are connecting basically Go Givers from worldwide, people who conduct their lives and run their business the Go Giver way, you know, with the five laws of stratospheric success that we talk about in the book. And we do two teaching calls a month where it's really pretty intense on how to build your business, have a strong, profitable, and fun business that you feel good about and are able to be abundant.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for being here, and listeners, you heard it. Go to berg.com, also connect with him via social media, and make sure you take advantage of the offer to get Chapter 1. I mean, why wouldn't you do it? You've heard him tonight. You hear what's in the book. It's going to be amazing. So we definitely encourage you to take advantage of that. Join us at mindshifttalkradio.com. Make sure you're connected with us on Facebook. You're connected with us via Blog Talk Radio. Just stay connected for this wealth of information. And we're going to have some amazing guests lined up for you over the next month as well. So definitely you want to stay connected with us. Sister Big Bones, thank you so much for being here with me tonight.
Thank you for having me here.
Definitely. And thank you to all of you, again, that are listening to the live show, those of you listening to the replay as well. And make sure that you're sharing this with your friends and family members, sharing the download, sharing the website as well. But as always, we wish you guys another phenomenal, blessed, and amazing week, and we hope to connect with you soon. Take care. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Mind Shift Radio.